Well, good morning. Good morning. Great to see you all. For those that have ventured out on this snowy, frosty morning. You are Tim Harding. Yeah, that's right. That's right, you are. But hardy souls as well. No, it's great to see you. And of course, if you are at home as well, joining us from the comforts and warmth of your home, we give you a warm welcome as well. It's great that we gather together here in God's presence, whether we're here physically or at home, we gather though we are scattered in God's presence to give him glory and to give him praise this morning. Let's start and continue with that as I invite Tina and Emily, there you are, Emily to light the candle and Tina to bring our reading to us this morning. Come on up.
The shepherds and the angels. In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Tina. Thanks, Emily. Let's just pray, and then after we do, the children are going to go on out because they're going to be busy preparing for next week as their leaders in that service. But here, just right now, Lord, we come before you and we thank you for this new day. Lord, we thank you that as we journey through this Advent season, as we're reminded of that miraculous story of your coming here and being with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we lift our voices, we lift our prayers, we lift every ounce and fibre of our beings and our souls to you this morning. Lord, all that we do, may it bless you, and in turn would you also bless us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
Children, go. Well, I stay up here a bit longer for notices because Carol's not here. She's away, so unfortunately you've got me reading them out to you this morning. But there's not a great deal of change in what we've already been saying for the past few weeks as we're going through this Advent period. Tomorrow we do invite you to join us via Zoom for prayer and meditation. That's going to be at 9:30. A reminder that our warm spaces are happening here on a Thursday. They happen throughout the community, Monday to Friday, but in particular here on a Thursday, 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're more than welcome. Then, of course, on Sunday the 18th, we've got our service, which will be led by our youth, followed by the shared lunch, bring and share lunch. And then, of course, there's prospects in the afternoon. Malcolm, you may remember last week, invited us to join them, weather-dependent, as we're going to go down Eden Grove and be singing carols and blessing the community down there. Everyone is welcome to join there. Then, of course, on Thursday, the 22nd, at 6:30, we've got our carol service by candlelight. And again, there'll be refreshments served after that. Christmas Day, of course, is on a Sunday this year, and we'll have our service, short service at 10:30. Again, don't forget to bring a present. Don't have to be a child to do that. We're all children in the eyes of God. So bring a gift as a child that you may have received, and again, we'll share in that. But of course, throughout all of that, there'll be refreshments at the end of that as well. So do, throughout these next couple of weeks, bring mince pies and other niceties that we can share after these services. And all donations that'll be given for the card that's at the back and anything else that's raised will be going to cancer research. Just one other thing to say is the church meal that we've done for so many years in the new year. Struggled a little bit, but we've been able to provisionally book Sunday the 22nd. of January. It's going to be approximately £15 for a main course and a suite, and you'll pay that on the day. But if we could get the numbers in ASAP, because next week and Christmas Day, there'll be no notices. New Year's Day, we're not having a service, and then we're back on the 8th, and it'll be a couple of weeks after that. But just always, there's a sign-up sheet at the back, just in the hallway as you come in. If you could gladly put your name and numbers of how many are attending on that, and we'll get that squared off as soon as we can. But of course, as always, all things are updated on our website. Facebook page is regularly updated, and the weekly emails that continue to come out. Let's have Jeannie come up and continue with our reading this morning. If you do have your Bibles with you, it'd be great to open them. If you are using the church one, it's page 875, and we're looking at Luke chapter 2. Thank you.
Thank you.
857, that's the one.
Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 20. You all got your Bibles ready? And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn, the shepherds and the angels. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known that saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who had heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amen.
Thank you, Jeannie. And good morning. Good morning, everybody at home as well. It's very very nice to be together. And again, a massive honour to speak this morning. Here we are, week 3 of Advent, as we can tell from the 3 lit candles. And this year we're sort of thinking about the symbolism of the Advent crown, the Advent wreath. It depends on which website you look at, to be honest, what the candles are meant to symbolise. And what it's all meant to exactly mean. I think some denominations have got, right, well, week 1 is definitely about such and such a thing. And it kind of depends on where you look. But there seems to be a little bit of consensus amongst some theological websites that it's sort of looking at those ideas that Olivia's beautifully put together. Olivia did that again. She does all our slides for us, for our services. And it's really lovely, isn't it? So we've kind of got the crown, the Advent wreath there, obviously Christ in the middle. And there are thoughts that one of the weeks sort of focuses on the hope to come, and one of the weeks focuses on joy, and one of the weeks focuses on peace, one of the weeks focuses on love. Depending on a different website, one of the weeks focuses on the shepherds, and one of the weeks focuses on the angels. So it all kind of gets very confusing. But this week we're thinking about the shepherds, as you can tell from our reading. But we're also thinking about joy. So it's kind of like a double whammy. I got both websites in. But before we start, let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for the joy of Christmas. And we pray, especially this morning, that we can catch a glimpse of this joyful news, that we can learn more of you. And Lord, let me speak your words this morning, not mine. Amen. Well, Lord, let me speak your words this morning, not mine, is especially relevant because as I was uploading the few slides that I've got this morning, I realised that I actually preached on exactly the same passage about a year ago, last Advent. So I'm really hoping, praying, that I am not bringing just exactly the same message. Otherwise, you could just go back on YouTube and watch it. I have checked, it is different, so that's good. I'd like to start with a question this morning. Are you looking forward to Christmas? Yes. Well, there's a resounding yes from some people. A lot of us are, which is nice. But I think maybe sometimes there's a slight sense of being a bit overwhelmed, I think, at this time of year. There is so much to do, isn't there? There's presents to buy. You know, even if we don't brave the shops and we do it online, now we've got to worry whether Royal Mail's going to go on strike, whether those presents are actually going to be delivered to our house. There's the cards to write and post off before the date. We've got the presents to wrap if they've arrived. We've got the cake to make. We've got the food to buy this year, coupled with the worry that the bird flu will strike out our turkeys. I think two turkeys that I've ordered, I've now been told, are dead and not in a good way. So turkey, no, I wouldn't want to eat my life, but I don't want bird flu either. So we're worrying now that turkey will be off the menu. We've got people to visit. We've got those important sprouts to find. We've got potatoes to peel. It can be pretty overwhelming. And Christmas Day itself starts quite early, doesn't it? Especially if you've got guests or kids. And it just keeps on coming at you all the way through the day. Well, guys, maybe if you weren't concerned about Christmas being overwhelmed 2 minutes ago, maybe you are now. Sorry about that. Just thought I'd share. I've got to admit, a couple of weeks ago, I stood in Meadow Hall. I was doing a bit of Christmas shopping, trying to get ahead of the game. And I was just sort of overwhelmed with a whole load of stuff on shelves and decisions to make. And I think I turned round to Jenny and I said, I can't be doing with this. Can't be doing with this. It wasn't. It was only a couple of weeks ago. So I think that's why the season of Advent is really important, because it gives us a season of reflection. But it also gives us a season of anticipation, of things to look forward to, the season of waiting on God. And there are so many things to do for what we have made Christmas into. And that's why it can be overwhelming. There's so much busyness going on that we've put into Christmas. So many things to do which can rob us of our sense of joy about Christmas. But hopefully this passage today will allow us to go away from this place, not with the busyness removed, but with a sense of joy this Christmas time. Not that that's me, I'm not trying to produce joy in you, only God can do that, of course. But my aim is to show you from this passage in Luke 2 why we should have joy. I suppose summarising our purpose like this: rejoice, remember to rejoice in the Saviour who is Christ the Lord, by being humble like those shepherds. So rejoice in the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. At the start of the passage that Jeannie has just read to us, we've got the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. At the start of the chapter, we've seen very, very briefly that the baby has been born. Here, in the main bit of the passage, Jesus' birth is announced to the world. Well, today when people announce births, to a wide audience, they do it online. They do it on Twitter or on Facebook. But no one really can top this particular birth announcement, can they? Here come a whole bunch of angels to announce the birth to the world. But I suppose that's not really a remarkable thing if you think about it. The Son of God's just been born. So in a lot of ways, you would kind of expect angels to turn up, wouldn't you? That shouldn't be massively unusual, you know, heaven being excited about this sort of thing. But I think the surprising thing for us is that the shepherds are the first people to know about it. When my boys were born, the first people I told were my mum and dad and Jenny's mum and dad. I rang them from the hospital because that's what you do, isn't it? You tell your nearest and dearest first, those people who are closest to you, most important to you. You tell those people in person. And then the world starts finding out and you announce it a bit wider afield and, you know, maybe send a text message or put it on Facebook, whatever it might be. But here in Luke 2, when Jesus was born, immediately the news is announced to the general public. This isn't just a family affair. It's news that brings rejoicing. The angels are singing, the shepherds are praising, Mary is pondering in her heart. The people are amazed, people are rejoicing. And this morning, friends, we are reminded to rejoice. The angels appeared to the shepherds. Keep your Bibles open, it would be really useful. The angels appeared to the shepherds, and in verse 9, those shepherds are instantly terrified. I'm sure at some point we're going to be singing the beautiful carol Silent Night this Advent. In that carol we sing the line, "The shepherds quake at the sight." That's a lovely image, isn't it? The shepherds quaking with fear. And the angels say what angels always seem to say in this sort of situation. "Don't be afraid," they say. If you've read from the start of Luke's gospel, you get bonus points if you have, you will have seen the angel saying, "Do not be afraid," to Zechariah. They've said it to Mary, and now they are saying, "Do not be afraid," to the angel, to the shepherds. I sometimes think that it must be a bit of a tough gig being an angel. You know, God sends you out, doesn't he, to announce some great stuff to people. And every time you turn up there, they all get terrified. You know, imagine them flying in. "Oh, not again, Bill. Look at him. He's scared. Don't be afraid. It's all right." Poor things. Anyway, I suppose there's perks to the job as well. But look really carefully about why the angels are not to be afraid. Have a look there in Luke verse 10. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." "Don't be afraid," they say. "Don't be afraid, for this is good news I bring to you." Not just good news, not just standard good news, but good news of great joy. You know I'm a little bit of a word geek, and I've kind of done a little bit of thinking back into the Greek of this. Apparently in Greek, the word used there for the Greek bit is megalen or megalene. I'm not Greek and I don't know how to say it. But you get the sense really from that word that it's his mega good news. It's definitely not a small thing, is it? People will rejoice in this news. Say the angels to the shepherds, I beg your pardon. So today, too, we should rejoice in this news, this mega good news of great joy, which is for us. And this great news is focused on a child in a particular town. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." The angels announce that the shepherds, the world, will rejoice that this baby is the Saviour and that he is Christ the Lord. So we're told there are three things about this baby, aren't we? He is the Saviour, he is Christ, he is the Lord. So let's just unpick those three ideas that the angels say one by one. Firstly, he is the Saviour, the one who can deliver us. He will save us from our enemies, from the peril which we are facing. And as Christians, we know that the peril which faces us is our sinfulness. It's our rebellion against God. I'm sometimes think that we are tempted to believe that as a humanity, we've kind of developed a little bit. We've kind of advanced beyond that kind of description. You know, we've made ourselves a world that's great, haven't we? You know, maybe in the past things were different, but not now. We've got great buildings. I mean, look at even Sheffield city centre. It's not London, it's not New York, but we've got great buildings. We've got good infrastructure. We've got good cultural facilities. We've got good schools. We've got good hospitals. Okay, we might grumble about some of the stuff around the edges, but at core, we've built ourselves a great society, haven't we? Society is good. And I think we can be forgiven for thinking that we have progressed. We've kind of, maybe we could be tempted to think that, well, we're not really in those kind of sinful days anymore. We've progressed out of that. But when you scratch under the surface, people are still full of the same kinds of sins that they always have been. We're full of jealousy, we're full of anger. We see in the news people who abuse others by taking whatever they want. And if we're really honest, we can see in our own selves that we're selfish. We want stuff, we desire things, don't we? We try and get things. And those feelings, those vices, those sins, they've never changed from age to age to age. The same impulses are still there within all of us. And those impulses show us that our hearts are against God, that our hearts still rebel against God. And so we are still people who desperately need to hear this mega great news that a Saviour has been born. A Saviour who will save us from all the consequences of our sin. And we celebrate that. We remember that, don't we? We celebrated it last week when we took communion. We rejoiced that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shedding his own blood to save us. So the angels remind us, take joy in the Saviour. But more than that, take joy in the Saviour who is Christ. And that's important because it's not his surname. Yeah, I'm Robert Joyce over there. There's David Skeet. It's not Jesus Christ. It's not his name. It's a title. It means the anointed one. The anointed one who will be king. God's chosen. If we'd been reading this morning from the very start of Luke's chapter, that wouldn't surprise us, because when the angel appeared to Mary back in chapter 1, she was told that her child would take up the throne of David. If you just cast your eyes back just a column or two in our Bibles, you'll see chapter 1, verse 32. The angel says, he, this is the baby, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus is the Christ who will be king. And one of the main things a king did when kings were really in charge was that they protected their people. They delivered their people. They saved their people. And that's what Christ does as our King. This morning we're reminded to take joy, to rejoice in the Saviour who is Christ. So rejoice in the Saviour who is Christ, but also rejoice in the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And the third description of this baby is that he is Lord. And I think this really is remarkable, the angel saying this. As we approach this passage that we heard from Jeannie there in chapter 2, as we just get to it, we read, we hear the word Lord a number of times, slightly earlier on in Luke's gospel. And the person who is described as Lord up to this point is God the Father himself. God, in all his authority, in all his majesty, is described as Lord. And so, just flick back with your eyes there to the top of page 856. In chapter 1, verse 38, Mary says, behold, I am servant of the Lord. A little further on, verse 46, she exclaims, my soul magnifies the Lord. In verse 68, Zechariah prays, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. But now, just fast forwarding back into chapter 2, The angels are arriving. The angels are appearing to these shepherds, and they are saying, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." Now, Luke only gives a little bit of a hint here as to what that will mean. But in the second part of Luke's writings, in the book of Acts, the full implication is hammered home in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching. And at the conclusion of that sermon, in Acts 2, verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain," Peter says, "God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." So as Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, he is both Lord and Christ. And as the angels announced, here in Bethlehem is Jesus Christ the Lord. And this is mega great news. News about a Saviour who is born, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. A Saviour with absolute authority, absolute sovereignty. And so he is truly able to bring us salvation. The one able to save with all authority in heaven and on earth. And that is what we are waiting on this Advent. And that's why it is proper to be waiting with joy in our hearts. That's what we will celebrate this Christmas. And we don't celebrate it with a vague kind of hope, a vague nebulous desire. "Oh, I hope he can save us. That would be nice." No, he is Christ the Lord. So he is definitely able to, and he has already saved all those who put their trust in him. So we can rejoice in the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. But I think there's an issue really for people of the world. I think on one hand, some of us don't really get it. Just don't get the message, don't understand it. But on the other hand, some of us don't really feel the joy of it, that mega joy. I think it really is true, some people just don't get it, just don't understand it. I mean, like you'll have attended loads and loads of carol service. I've attended loads and loads of church carol services and school carol services over the years as a teacher. I've heard loads of conversations coming out of many, many places. And it's obvious when you kind of eavesdrop on what people are saying on the way back to the car park, that loads of people love singing carols. Oh, they love singing carols. They love the music. But they don't really understand sometimes what they are singing about. You know, what is this all about in this world of sin? What's that all about? What, they like singing it, but they just don't, they hear the words, but they don't get sometimes, often, the bit about sin, the bit about redemption. They're like the baby, but they don't understand the reason why. And maybe your friends and your family have got the same reaction. For some people, this message that the angels are bringing isn't joyful, it's just ridiculous. Sin, heaven, people hear the words, they understand them individually, but they don't grasp what the meaning is. A saviour? I don't need rescuing. It's sort of like as if I was sat on my sofa in Swallownest, and my phone rings and someone says, "Hi, I'm in my rescue boat. I'm in the middle of the Atlantic. I've come to rescue you." It's like, what? I'm on my sofa, I'm watching The Crown, I'm wrapped in a blanket, I'm eating a mince pie. I don't need rescuing. Thank you very much. Wrong number. And we tell people sometimes the news, but that's the sort of thing they hear when we tell them of a saviour who is born. So on one hand, there are people that just don't get it. And on the other hand, many of us just don't find it joyful. We know the message, don't we? But it doesn't fill us with joy anymore. We hear it, we accept it, we are Christians, we want to carry on being Christians, but we don't feel the joy of that message? Well, I think for those people who don't get it, and for those people who don't really feel the joy, I think it's the same lesson that we need to learn. Let's take a leaf out of the shepherd's book. Those humble shepherds. Because it should be quite surprising, as I said, that the first people to hear the news of the baby being born is the shepherds. And as we come to Advent, we should focus on Jesus. We're meant to focus on Jesus. That's always the right thing to do, isn't it? But in this story, as we're sort of getting to that point, onto the nativity stage, if you like, our attention shifts to the shepherds. They're entering stage left, shuffling on, tea towels on heads and everything. And they provide the backdrop to understand the whole message that's going on. Because this is the point, the shepherds are simple people, they're run-of-the-mill, normal, ordinary people. They weren't important people, they weren't even middle-class people. They were just ordinary, standard people. No airs and graces, bottom of the pile, just getting on with life, doing their job. The humble and the lowly. But these simple, lowly, humble folk hear and respond to God's message, don't they? They scuttle down off that hill. And as you read the New Testament, they're not really unusual in that. In 1 Corinthians, verse 26, if you want to look it up, we read about the congregation in Corinth. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. So the Corinthians were just normal people. Or cast your mind back to when Jesus met the rich man. You know the story, don't you? After the rich man went off, Jesus remarked how hard it was for rich people to enter the kingdom of heaven. Hard because people with means can provide for themselves. People with means pride themselves that they've set themselves up. And they're pleased that they've even got a little bit left over maybe to help other people. A little bit left over for some of the luxuries in life. And when the problems come, we've got a little bit set aside so that we can deal with those things. You know, the roof blows off, you can employ a roofer. The car breaks down, you can fix it. The pipes burst, you can replace the carpet. We can meet those challenges in life. And the danger for those of us who are rich is that we are tempted to think that we can provide the needs of our spiritual life as well. The wealth that we have becomes a kind of cover for our internal poverty. And we can't admit that we've got poverty inside. So when this message of a Saviour who is Christ the Lord comes, we need to be those who are humble. Humble to receive it, humble to accept it. And for a lot of people, that's an offensive idea. They're unwilling to be humble. They don't see their need, and so they're always looking for more things themselves to kind of sort things out. And maybe you sometimes feel like that as well. I don't hope it's not just me, but, you know, this can be a confessional. I often feel as if I've got the right to more. Yeah, right to more pleasure. Should be happier. Deserve to be happier. A right to more gratitude from my kids. Yeah, didn't say thank you for doing that. A right to more fitness. A right to more stuff. A right to more time. At times it feels like I can never be joyful because I'm always thinking that I should have those things. But if I change my thinking in the light of the gospel, it's really clear that I can't be thinking like that. So I need to humble myself, and I'd encourage you to humble yourself when we hear this message from the angels. Realize that you deserve nothing. But you're offered everything in Jesus. And that's the point of the angel's song. Glory to God in the highest. and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The angels are not proclaiming that there will be world peace. We know that that's not happened, won't happen until the second coming. But they are proclaiming that on earth there can be peace between man and God, between mankind and God. And those who will experience that peace with God will be those on whom his favour rests. So when we are humble, when we are lowly, when we do those things, then we will know his favour. And then we can experience peace with God. But it seems to only come to those who are humble. As Mary sang in Luke chapter 1, in the Magnificat, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. So the question is, are you willing to be humble in order to be lifted up and exalted? Or remember what James says later on in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So the issue for us is, are we willing to be humbled by this message? Are we willing, therefore, to be exalted and lifted up? If you don't humble yourself and see the need that you have, and recognize that those needs have been met in the Lord Jesus, then you will never understand the message, and you will never find joy like the angels. So amidst the busyness and the anxious wait for the mail to deliver the presents, friends, let us remember to rejoice in the Saviour who is Jesus the Lord. Remember that we have more than we ever deserve in the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And let's remember to be humble before him. Rejoice in this Saviour by being humble, like the shepherds. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. We praise you for your Son, our Lord and our Saviour. And Father, we praise you that he is both Christ and Lord. Father God, we are sorry that often we don't feel joy in this because we think too highly of ourselves. We think we're self-sufficient. Please humble us to see the extraordinary gift that you gave us in Christ. Help us to realize again and again and again how much we needed saving, and how gloriously you provided for that in Christ. And cause us to rejoice this Advent with deep joy in our hearts. Rejoice in the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And Father, help us to be humble like those shepherds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, give us the courage and opportunities to spread your gospel message this Christmas, that we can tell people of your peace, of your joy, of your love, and all that you mean to us. We pray this around the world, in every country. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's just say the grace together.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore.